Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace, which sees us through our days, which protects us, which helps us to know you, which helps us to worship you. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and minds, that your Spirit would have free reign in us, that you might be glorified. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. So let's start with a pop quiz this morning. So don't check out. Don't put your mind in neutral, but put it in gear. You ready? This is a 4th of July pop quiz. This weekend is the weekend Americans celebrate what our forefathers declared to the British, King George, and really to the rest of the world, that they were going to become an independent nation. True or false? True. Question 2. The name of the document developed by Congress was called the Constitution of the United States of America. True or false? The name of the document developed by Congress was called the Constitution of the United States of America. True or false?
False.
The name of the document was the Declaration of Independence. The Constitution would come into power about 13 years later in 1789. We're getting a little trickier, so pay attention. True or false? You got to wait for the question, Patrick. The ratification of the Declaration of Independence was signed by all of Congress on July 4th. Patrick, thumbs up. This is false. The declaration was ratified and signed by many in Congress on July 2nd and was then read to the people on July 4th. The congressmen who did sign the document didn't all sign it on the 2nd. It would be months before all of the names that we see today actually appeared on the document were actually signed. So without being specific, the law of land didn't really come into being for a period of time until after the Declaration of Independence. The structure of the current law of the Americas was based on British law. But out on the frontier, there were circuit riders, preachers preaching the Ten Commandments, what Jesus taught, love God and love your neighbor. But the law was really the strong survive. Now, I shared last week about a man in a hospital who I was asked to see and went and had a conversation with. And he said he would go to heaven if he died. And I asked him how he knew he was going to go to heaven. He said, because I'm a good person. Because I'm a good person. And according to Jesus, the teachings of the New Testament, Jesus, who we understand is God in the flesh, come down from heaven and lived with us for a time. According to this Jesus, being a good person is not good enough. Listen closely. It's not good enough. You'll never be good enough. Nope, no way. Never good enough. Jesus says the only way is by believing in himself, Jesus, as the Son of God who died for our sins and through which God forgives us of our sins, and by our belief in Jesus and turning from a life of sin to live for Jesus, who we are saved. And this is reiterated again and again by the writers of the New Testament. Those letters that they wrote to the churches, the New Testament churches, to individual people, all consistently say, it's only by Jesus that we can be saved. And Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, really sets people straight on this reality. There were people who believed that they could be saved by Jesus, but they also felt that they need to follow certain Jewish customs too to be saved. So they were adding requirements for salvation. And then on the other hand, there were people who believed that they could be saved by believing in Jesus, but then they could live life however they wanted and treat people however they wanted. They were taking away expectations of salvation. See, the good apostle called these two beliefs, adding to or taking from, perversions to the gospel. And he was really concerned with the Galatian churches that they were receiving these perversions and beginning to fall into them. Let's look again at what Paul writes. Read it with me. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." So Paul is wondering, what is happening? Jesus' death from the crucifixion is what gives the Galatians their freedom from sin and death. And though it doesn't state it here, their salvation and their entry into a relationship with God the Father for now and forevermore. You see, Jesus crucified is their way to this relationship and, if you want to call it this, their ticket into heaven. But the question is, who has bewitched them into believing that one has to do more than what Paul clearly stated and taught them while he was with them? And there are three possibilities, really four. But I take away God because God cannot lie. And God gives us the truth. So the other possibilities are Satan, the world, or themselves. And in this case, I believe it is a combination of Satan and the world. See, I believe Satan put it into the hearts of some of the Jewish Christians there that they still had to adhere to the Jewish law and Jewish customs to be saved. They were adding to the requirements. So they began passing that along to other Gentile converts, other Gentile Christians, that by believing Jesus was the Christ wasn't enough. That they needed to follow the law. And they were saying, like in today's vernacular, they were saying, to be saved, you must go to church, or you must be in a community of faith, or really you don't need to be if you want to take it the other way around. You don't need to be, take away from what God wants us to be, that you don't have to worship God, that just by believing is enough. But what they were saying was that you had to add to the law. And today, sometimes people say to be saved, you must go to church. You must be in a community of faith. You must give to the church. You must. But the truth is that to get to heaven is by being in a relationship with Jesus Christ, by believing Jesus Christ was the Son of God, period. You see, I want to say this same thing to Christians today. Who is bewitching you? You don't get to heaven by being a good person, and people have believed this for ages. It's nothing new for Christians to have to confront this lie. Another lie would be to say that I believe in God, but I have no clue who God is or what God stands for. But you see, the Bible is quite clear who God is and throughout history how God has revealed himself to mankind. If we are to know God, we must be in the Word of God. I believe today people are getting into a third kind of trouble by believing that God is love and love alone. That God, because God loves all people, God will provide a way for all people to get to heaven. Whether you believe in God or not, they'll get to heaven because God is love. Whether you go to church or not, you'll get to heaven because God is love. Whatever that might be, God will not only provide a way, but ensure you get to heaven. Whatever you believe in. And that's just not true. Because it seems clear to me when I read the scriptures that not all people will make it to heaven. Yes, God loves us all, but if that love is not returned, reciprocated, there are going to be consequences. Eternal consequences as well as consequences on this side of eternity. And friends, you have to guard against being led to believe something that is not true in regard to God and salvation in Jesus. And to do that, you have to be in the Word, studying the Word with others who are maybe a little further down the spiritual road than yourself. so that you can know the truth and that you will be a blessing to God and be a blessing to others. Too many people assume that they know the mind of God but have rarely opened up their Bible. What a travesty. And friends, just listening to the preacher doesn't mean that they have it right. When anyone preaches or teaches, it is your responsibility to check it out for yourself. If your spirit inside questions what's being said, then check it out for yourself. Don't allow yourself to be bewitched like others have through the centuries. Now know this, however. I am always right. So you can always trust and believe me, right? Well, hopefully right. I've misstated things about the Word of God. After all, I am human. But Paul continues, I would just like to learn one thing from you, he says. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And by means of the flesh, what he is saying is by the works of the law, by what you can do. It's saying salvation is based on what you do and how you behave. It's all about me and has nothing to do with God. Friends, you know, I have always believed in God. I don't remember a day growing up. I went to church. I wore those little zoot suits when I was about this tall for a few years. Matched my twin brother. No one could tell us apart. But I went to heaven from the day I went to church from the day I was born. And if you would have asked me any time along there, into adulthood, into college, before I started going to church again, if I was a Christian, I would have said, absolutely. Absolutely. You see, I was a preacher's kid. That's a requirement, isn't it? And I was a pretty good kid, too. I mean, middle child, I was just obedient. You see, though, it was all about myself. It was all about how I saw me and not how God saw me. And when we see ourselves, we say, oh, I follow the law good enough to get into heaven. And we run into these people all the time. Oh, I'm good enough. I'm a good person. I don't break the commandments. See, this bottom line thinking about salvation isn't concerned with what God has done. It's concerned more about what we have done to earn heaven. And our thinking must understand that this gracious and loving God whom we say we serve has done everything to provide a way for us, and that all we need to do is simply believe. Not just a, oh, sure, I believe. But the I'm sold out belief, which changes our lives to follow, changes our lives and gets that deep desire for us that we want to follow Jesus and his teachings, which leads us to an ongoing and growing relationship with God. If you're not growing in your spiritual life, bells and whistles, flags should start going up. Because God is infinite. And there is no way we can know all about God in this lifetime. I dare you to open up the Bible. And to say after reading something, oh, I knew that already. Ah, that's old stuff. I've read it before. But I tell you, if you're truly seeking after Jesus, you could read the same chapter in the Bible each day for a month and get something new from it. Because it's living. Because it's active. But let's say you go out today and run into someone who says, yeah, I'm heaven bound because I'm a good person. There's something you need to realize, and Paul states it this way. Read it with me. Can you get an assist here? For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. You see, as good as a person can be, can anyone completely and at all times live out the law of God perfectly in their lives? No idols, money, possessions, relationships that take place of God being first. You've never taken God's name or Jesus' name in vain. You have on a regular, a daily basis, worship God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have totally committed your life to God. How are you doing? I haven't even made it past the first four commandments. You see, there are other things that the law requires us to do, to always honor our parents, to never lie about anything, whether it's a little white lie or a big whopper. Never hated anyone. Jesus called that murder. Never looked upon another person lustfully. Jesus calls that adultery. And these are just three or four of the next six commandments, and I haven't even gotten into the Jewish law yet. You see, Paul says that no one who relies on the works of the law is going to be justified before God. That they can earn salvation only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And only through Jesus' righteousness can they live. And that is by faith. That they know that they can't perfectly follow the law. You should know that. I can't follow the law perfectly. And if anyone asks you or says that they can, they've just broken one of the commandments. They're lying. You see, it's not about relying on the law. It's about relying on God. It's about putting your full faith and trust in God. Paul sums it up this way. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Or you can say, Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for me. You see, Christ sets us free from the curse of the law. Again, it's nothing we have done, nothing we could do, except by the blood of Jesus Christ, who took our place and became our curse for us, can we be saved. That's what the good book says. That's what we need to follow. That's what we need to believe. In a few minutes, we're going to celebrate what Jesus did for us as we partake in communion. We state to those around us as we take communion that we believe Jesus died for my sins, that his blood cleanses me, and that nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me whole again. That Jesus paid the complete price for my salvation, for my entry into heaven, for my relationship with God the Father. And that by this, through faith, we can all enter into union with God, but only by faith. And by faith we have received the Holy Spirit of God, who directs us and helps us to live according to God's will for our life. Not our will, but God's will for our lives. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make us whole again. Amen? Lord, we just thank you and praise you and ask that you would continually help us to be good people, to live lives that are holy and pleasing, righteous lives that help others to know you, that glorifies you in all of our speech, all of our actions. God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would draw us closer to yourself, that you might be glorified, and that you might be praised. It's nothing but your blood, Jesus, that saves us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.